Welcome back to Epilogues, an unpacking of the weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. We are learning this week the Haftarah of Parshas Vayerech, but really this is actually what is called the Haftarah of Shuva, of return. And it is read as Shabbos Shuva in the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur every year, whether that falls out on Vayelech or not. Let's try to understand this Haftarah. It's unusual in the sense that it actually is taken from three separate Svarim, albeit adjacent Svarim as well. So if one is leaning off a cleft of a parchment, one would actually be rolling the parchment in between to get to the three different locations. The first is the last chapter of Hoshea, Yehoshea Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Beis to Yud. And then we move into Yoel, according to many customs, in the second Perek, from Yud Aleph to Chav Zayin, and then we conclude with three famous pasukim from Micha, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches to Chav. Let's take a look at each of these three paragraphs and try to get an appreciation of why this is so significant, especially around the time of Rosh Hashanah. The Haftarah starts very famously by a begging, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta ba'avonecha, return, O Israel, to Hashem, your God, because you have tripped up in your sins. And when doing so, we just hear very famous psukim, kachui mochem devorim, take with yourselves things or words, and return to Hashem, Shuva Hashem, imru elov ba'akol tisa avon, v'kach tov, v'neshama forim suvasenu, and let the words of our lips be like paying of the bulls of the sacrifices themselves. And then he goes on to admonish them. Ashur lo yoshienu, Assyria will not save us. Al sus lo nirkav, it's not going to come from those riding on horses. Lo noimar od elokeinu namasa yodenu, we're not going to call what we've created our gods. Asher b'cha yirucham yosam, because it is through you, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who gives the mercy. Describes that if that the nation of Israel will in fact do the tshuva necessary, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the blessings he will give to them. He'll be like dew for them, he'll grow them like a rose. And it describes how they, in this metaphor of growth, of agricultural growth, they'll continue to grow and there'll be protection. Yoshuvu Yoshuve Bitzilo Yechayu Dagon Yivruchu Kagefen, and you'll be able to have grow in the shade and be able to spread forth like the vine, Kiyayin Levanon, like the wine in Lebanon. And it just, and one last time he calls again, Ephraim, Maili Oda Al Atzavim. Why Ephraim? Hoshea speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel. Why are you continuing to create anger and upset? I've brought suffering upon you. I've spoken to you. Who's wise to understand all these matters? The ways of God are straight. Those who are righteous will walk in them, and those who are evil will be entrapped or will fail in them as well. Very powerful words. Most of these psukim are very well known. A few basic questions. What does it mean to do tshuva ad Hashem Elokecha, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Exactly. So the Malbim says that if you looked at the society that Hoshea was talking to, there was the ruling class, which was the kings who were evil, who enacted evil policies in terms of worship and ritual practice. And then there was the average proletariat, the farmers, the agriculturalists living in society who weren't making up the rules, but they were just living by the rules made by the ruling class. So he said, the ruling class is not who he's speaking to. They're evil and they'll be punished for it. But the regular people, he's saying, look how far you are. Go ad Hashem Elokecha, says the Malbim. You need to go, you need to travel. There's a big distance between you and God. You're not to blame for most of it because you didn't have an education otherwise, but you have a lot of ground to cover in order to be able to make up that relationship. And that's what it means. What does it mean to say these words? Take words with you when you do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying this, I don't need sacrifices. I need commitment. I need something as simple as words to show that you really understand this. The Radak understands that this means to say vidui, use words to express your contrition. That's what's been described over here. What is this metaphor of the tree in this whole section about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowing them to sit in the shade of the tree exactly? So the Malbim explains that those who are in Golos, those who are in exile, will be able to see and decide what's going on over here, being able to return to the land of Israel and be offered its protection when we do Teshuvah. However, the Chidah points out that this refers to Gerim. This refers to people who were born of outside of the faith and returned to the faith throughout the course of Jewish history, bringing back the light that was spread out from the times of creation in every single nation, bringing it back to the nation of Israel, which is describing coming to sit under the shade of the tree as well. It's worthwhile noting as well that there is a debate in the Midrash in Eicha as when it says who does the first step, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha, is it supposed to be Israel doing the first step of the Shuvah, or Hashivena Hashem Alecha Vino Shuvah? Or is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you help us get there and then we'll come to you? Who takes a step forward to bridge the immense gap that exists? On HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shuvah Yisrael, we need to take a step first. And when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'Nashuvah, we need you to take the first step as well. So how is this resolved? The Midrash very, very famously says, Yachid v'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, that the basin of humanity is the Rabim, is the plural, is the majority, and therefore it's ruled in that way that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us as well, get us to the tshuva that we need. So it's not only we need to do tshuva, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us even get there, which is really a humbling ask as well. Finally, the last word over here in this parak and in all of Sefer Hoshea is this notion of that tzaddikim yolchu b'am poshim yikoshlu b'am, that the ways of God are very hard to understand, and you need it to be that the tzaddikim will go in the right ways and the Rishayim will unfortunately be trapped in those very self-same ways. What does this mean precisely? The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf, Pei, Tesla, Beis gives us a very interesting observation. And this is made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I have a dilemma. Should I teach the halachas pertaining to certain manners of smuggling and cheating, and the halachas that relate to this? Because on the one hand, if I describe this, like, you know, having a stick with that was hollow where people could smuggle coins, and he says that if I mention this, then people might say, oh, that's a great idea, and they'll start using these techniques for evil operations. Whereas if we don't speak about it, then the smugglers all say, you see, the halacha is so innocent, it's so naive, it doesn't even understand the ways of smuggling. So which way should one go? Should I teach it or not teach it? And the Gemara says, no, you should teach it, because tzaddikim yelchu b'am, those who need to learn the right lessons will learn about it. And the collateral damage, is that the people will always misunderstand. They'll feather their pillows with what the good information. They'll misappropriate anything right you say for the wrong way. So we have to decide where it is that we want to be going, and ultimately we'll let all the information itself corroborate that idea. Ultimately, that's what is being said over here. We shift straight into Yoel, and this is the second parak of Yoel where we hear about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes that there's this immense army which is coming against Israel, and if we call out b'shofar b'tzion, this horn on Zion, then and we kadosh tzoim v'kirut atzaron, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call a fast day, and we bring everybody to together, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return, and there'll be this miraculous ability to return the land to the state that it was in beforehand, and there'll be this incredible opportunity of growth. We'll hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how Kinosan Lachem Esamora Litzdakava Yored Lachem Geshem Mora Umalkosh Barishon. Hashem will allow you the first rains in the first month, and there'll be so much food that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us satiation. What is being referred to here? So one really needs to know the context of Sefer Yoel. The first parak of Yoel, which precedes what we're reading right now, describes an incredible plague. The plague is a plague of locusts which hits the Middle East, and it's such a unbelievably damaging plague. It describes that there really was never a plague like this in the Middle East. That was so damaging to the crops, there was nothing left. There was no food left whatsoever. So read in the context of that, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing his wrath about the way that the nation of Israel were behaving themselves, and that called upon them the dangers and the punishment of not being able to operate. If that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them that even so, even though they have sinned in such a way, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing that if you decide to do teshuva, if you do call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you blow the shofar, if you create the fast day, if you live the life you're supposed to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reverse even that. That's the power of teshuva itself. Which means to say that if you go back to those psukim in the 23rd pasuk in this perek, which is Kinosan Lochem Es Hamore Litzdaka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you this more, this rain for righteousness. Vayored Lochem Geshem Moreh Umalkosh Barishon. There's going to be rain in the first month. The first month of the year is Nisan. Nisan is not the time for rain. If you know the Israel agricultural cycle, the time for rain is right after Sukkot. That's going to be around October, November time in the secular calendar. And it rains, that's when the plants are initially seeded. And then they will grow through the rainy season, which is the winter. And by the time Nisan is arriving, that's when we stop praying for rain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you truly do the tshuva necessary, the requisite tshuva, even though regularly it doesn't rain and you've passed the rainy season, there's nothing left and the grain houses are going to be empty, I can create a system where there will be rain in Nisan and everything will grow within a week or two, and you'll have enough food for the summer just by the fact that you prayed and did teshuva. That's the power of what's described over here. And then, v'achaltem ochol v'savo v'chilaltem eshem Hashem Elokeichem. You'll then eat and be satiated and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So teshuva is a remarkable process which is being described over here, even be able to reverse these effects. And finally, the last little section is three psukim, which is in from Mecha, Mikael, Kamoicha, Nosei Avon, Voiver Pesha, who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who really is able to sustain sin and is able to create opportunities for us to go back. And famously, Kabbalistically speaking, these psukim, which we also read at the end of Haftaras Yona on the afternoon of Yom Kippur, are really actually the flip side of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's a reframing of each of those Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's a tashlich as well, these three psukim, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has mercy upon us. And we read this Haftorah to remind ourselves, A, like Hoshea is saying, even though you've gone really far and exile is about to be upon you, Northern Kingdom of Israel, you can still come back. And then to you earlier on, as Yoel's talking, when there's been a plague and there's no food to be had, there can be food which is to be had. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has immense and immeasurable infinite rachamim if we so choose to invest in it, if we so choose to change our lives. Have a wonderful and meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.